saying to us, God, during this hour. God, we bless the man and woman of this house on today. God, to do a great work within them, Father. So we thank you, God, for the membership on today.
Thank you.
Do a great work within your people,
yes,
God. Continue, God, to help you to do kingdom building. And we'll be mindful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory that you have for your name.
I just thank God on this morning.
Amen.
I just woke up with a thankful heart.
Yeah.
I just thank him for who he is. Not so much for what he did do. Not so much for what he did do. I just thank him for who he is.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And he's everything that we need. Hallelujah. Let me cool myself down because I just thank God. Hallelujah. So I give honor to God, who is the head of my life, the redeemer of my soul. I thank God for Pastor Williams and First Lady Williams for the invitation to be able to come and stand before these people on this morning. I give honor to my pastor, Pastor Kelly Austin, and our First Lady Minister Sandra Austin in their absence, but they send their love and their prayers on this morning. Most importantly, I give honor to my honey love that's sitting out in the audience that drove me down this morning as I was packing my feet in the car. Because I said, you need to push the gas, honey, push the gas so we can be here. So I thank God for the man of God on this morning, dealing with his wife. Hallelujah. I thank God for him. I thank God for my sister love that rode with us in on this morning. Hallelujah. You know, folk don't have to follow you.
That's real.
And because of that, I thank God that I have somebody to run with.
Yeah.
So I thank God for that on today. But there is a word from the Lord. That word is going to come from the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 8. We'll read verses 31 through 39. If you will, please stand for the reading of God's word. I'll be reading this verse from the Amplified Bible. And it reads, "What then shall we say to all these things? If God is for us, who can be successful against us? He who did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against God's elect, his chosen ones? It is God who justifies us, declaring us blameless and putting us in the right relationship with him. Who is the one who condemns us? Jesus Christ is the one who died to pay our penalty. And more than that, who was raised from the dead. And who is at the right hand of God interceding with the Father? For us, who shall ever separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or danger, or sword? Just as it is written, and forever remains written, for your sake we are put to death all the day long. We are regarded as sheep for slaughter." Verse 37, "Yet," somebody say yet.
Yes.
"In all these things we are more than conquerors and gain an overwhelming victory." Somebody say victory. "Through him who loved us so much that he died for us. For I am convinced," somebody say convinced, "and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will be able to separate us from the unlimited love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord."
Yeah.
His unlimited love, and I love the fact that he says, for I am convinced, Paul says.
Yes.
So this morning, we'll use for a thumb. What's love got to do with you? You might as well tell your neighbor everything.
Yes, ma'am.
Love is about everything.
Yes.
That's an important factor. When Minister Williams sent me the thing, she said the theme was the love that makes us overwhelmingly victorious.
Yeah.
So some people may be questioning, well, what is that love? And what does that love have to do with us being victorious?
Yeah.
That answer is everything.
Yeah. Amen.
That answer is everything.
Come on.
So basically here we are seeing that the theme was for this beautiful occasion. It says the love that makes us overwhelmingly victorious. But just in case somebody's asking again, I just want you to know that love is everything. We have to remember John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world.
Come on.
That he gave his only begotten son.
Yeah.
That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now that's real love.
Yeah.
And that's the love that's got to do with everything.
Right.
Because if it had not been for God giving up his son.
Right.
The Bible clearly says in Romans 5 and 8, it says, but God clearly shows and proves his own love towards us by the fact that while we are still sinners, Christ still died for us. While we wasn't even thinking about him, while we didn't even have him on our minds, but Christ still chose to die for you and for me. Now that's love. That's the real love. So that's why love has to do everything with us being victorious. God love makes us overwhelmingly victorious because he loves us so much. In verse 31, it says, that what then shall we say to these things? That if God is for us,
well,
then who can be against us?
Come on.
God is on our side.
Yeah.
The life that we live, we have to understand that it's a fixed fight.
Yeah.
That there's no way that we can lose.
Right.
That no matter the outcome, we still come out victorious.
Yeah.
The gift of forgiveness and reconciliation was earned for us up on the cross.
Yeah.
God himself, who declares us to be just and right for Jesus' sake. And Jesus Christ, his son, who literally gave himself, his body, his very own life for us, on the cross, and now lives again. He has been raised from the dead, and then he has all power of heaven and earth upon his right hand.
Yeah.
And we can't allow Satan to start messing with our minds and playing games with us, thinking that no, in our situation that we're not going to be victorious.
Yeah.
Because there is nothing that's going to be able to separate us from the love of God. So let's look at the text scripture here. Here Paul is asking a question in verse 35. He says, who shall ever separate us from the love of Christ?
Come on.
Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who, when we sin, we separate ourselves from God? We begin to allow Satan to make us feel like our sin is too great or our sin is too bad that God is not able to forgive
us.
We don't deserve God's love.
Uh-huh.
Satan tries to make us feel isolated and alone and as if that God is not there for us. He makes us feel ashamed and foolish when things happen, as if we're unworthy of God's
love. Come on.
You see, these things happen to us one time in our lives before, if we really want to be honest.
Yeah.
We want all rosy and smelling good and all of our lives.
Yeah.
We all at some point had sin to separate us from the love of God. And that's because of the sin that we were in at that particular time, if we were honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
Now, come on, let's just be real about it. We ain't all been so good.
Come on.
We ain't all been so good.
Yeah.
So it even happened in the Bible. Remember when the serpent had tried to convince Eve that there would be no consequence to the first sin when she and Adam disobeyed God.
Uh-huh.
After sinning, Adam and Eve felt, what did they feel? They felt guilty
and
embarrassed and ashamed of their nakedness.
Yeah.
Their guilty feelings made them feel and try to hide from God.
Right.
A guilty conscience is the warning signal that God placed inside of each and every
yes. falls off from time to time, when you know you're doing something wrong.
Come on.
See, that's the warning signal that tends to happen there. God gives us a warning in his word. He tells us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life.
All right.
The overwhelming gift of grace to the believers that gives us eternal life in Christ Jesus. See, Satan wants his people to keep sinning as if nothing is ever going to happen to
them.
And that it's all good while you're doing those certain things in life. But that is a lie. See, that alone goes off in the inside of us and makes us feel uneasy and uncomfortable. If there's something, those guilty feelings begin to start rising up in us. That makes us aware that we're doing something or thinking something or saying something that we should not be saying.
All right.
That alone is called the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
That Holy Ghost begins to twerk those things on the inside.
Yeah.
So now you don't understand that, come on, baby, you might not need to be thinking that. You might not need to be saying that.
Yeah.
And that law goes out for all sin. We can't get it twisted here. There's no big sin and no little.
Right.
But God's eyes, it's all sin.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful about those things, especially about those things that's unnoticeable to the outside.
Right.
So we try to pretend like it's only that big stuff that people can.
Come on.
But sin is those unnoticeable things that everybody else can.
Yeah.
So you know when some people are rolling their eyes at sister and brother so and so. You know, may not be y'all, but
I'm
you know, but because they said something that you might didn't like or you didn't agree with.
Yeah.
How about when you pick up the phone and you begin to start talking about your church and your pastor and the pastor, why the being that might be somebody that may not be y'all.
Yeah.
You know when certain things like that tend to happen. Or even you know when you're in the self-checkout line and certain things don't begin to scan up on the display.
Well.
And yet it somehow it still ends up in your mouth. You know, that kind of thing, not y'all, but maybe somebody else. But maybe not y'all, but some of those things do tend to happen. And see, what begins to happen is that all is still sin. There is no little sin and no big sin.
Come on.
We are all sin. So we got to be careful. See, I can't follow you around all day. But God has eyes. He knows everything that we're doing.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing going on, but God knows the truth.
Yeah.
And because he loves us so much, he gives us opportunities.
Come on.
To get those things right. Jesus came so that he can bring us back to God.
Yeah.
And because of that, we ought to forever be thankful.
Yeah.
Because the text goes on to say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine?
Come on.
Nakedness or danger or sword. As it is written, for the sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.
Yeah.
See, we have to understand that the text, it talks about these hardships and trouble. Because ironically, our reconnection with God produces a new division with God's enemy. See, the devil get mad when we connect with God. Makes no mistake about it. The devil in this world and that old sinful self tries to rise up when we're connected with God.
Right.
And if we are lined up with him, you can rest assured that the enemy is going to start attacking you.
Right. All right.
But while we are bold, we have to be affirmed in our faith and to know that Christ is for us and he's not against us. Some may even question, will we let trouble or hardship separate us from the love of God? You know, when we're experiencing troubles, when they're disturbing, and we have hard things that go on in life, when we lose our jobs, and when we lose our loved ones, and, you know, because it really gets bad when your money start acting funny and your change is being
destroyed.
You know, the real thing on the inside begins to start freaking out. Or you going to let the fact that you ain't got what you used to have separate you from the love of God? Are you going to let your hardship, you know, when you begin to lose cars and trucks, will you let that separate you from the love of God? When they tell you that your truck, brother, is $11,000 to get fixed, will you allow that to separate you from the love of God? Because we have to remain confident in the fact that no matter what they say, even if the truck that you wanted to buy is no longer there, then we're still victorious in Jesus. We believe something
today and not tomorrow.
Yes.
But we serve a God that's steadfast.
Yes.
He's unmovable.
Come on, come on.
That's exactly how our faith has to be. We have to be affirmed in what
yes.
we believe in. That's what Paul says, that for I am convinced.
Yeah.
You have to be convinced.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to know that God is for you.
Yeah.
You got to know He's for you. You got to know, you got
Come
to
on.
Know, you got to know. You got to know He's for you. So that you can know that He is victorious.
Yeah.
All times, our type of events every day. And even on the news, in our personal lives, that believers always face some type of hardship.
Yeah. Right.
In all kinds of forms. They could also have fear being abandoned by God. The enemy wants you to feel abandoned when we go through hardships.
Yeah,
trials,
I see, I see.
He wants you to feel as God is not fair. Mm-hmm. But Paul also makes it clear that it is impossible to be separated from Christ. His death is proof for us, for His love toward us. And that nothing can stop Christ's constant presence in our lives.
Come on.
Too often we focus on hardships and our persecution instead of focusing on the one who has the answer. We got to remain focused during this season to know that who's for us and who's against us.
Yeah.
Remain focused, because if you get tied up in the news and you start watching what's going on in Washington in the White House, you'll lose focus. You start believing that God is not there, but God is still there.
Yeah.
To get our attention back to Him.
Come on, come on.
Instead of us trusting in our words, instead of us trusting in these jobs, He said that I am Jehovah Jireh.
Yeah.
I am the one that provides for you. You can't get it twisted.
Come on.
You can't get it twisted. You got to remain focused on who He is.
Yeah.
We have that overwhelming feeling of victorious. We have to know that God is there dealing with our situation and that He's able to deliver us from it all. We all have to understand and know that God is not separated from us. And He's not separated from our trials and our tribulation, because God works in all things.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't work in half the things. He works in all the things.
Uh-huh.
Romans 8:28 tells us and reminds us and says that,
and we know
that all things work together.
Yeah.
For the good. Some people like to just stop right there. That's real good if that's it. But I like the rest of it. It says for those who love God.
Yeah.
Love somebody.
Yeah.
Everybody don't love God.
Yeah.
So we're trying to figure out why things going so well for them over there. And it's because I'm rest assured I can have victory.
Yeah.
Because I understand that all things work together for the good. But for those that love God.
Yeah.
And who've been called according to His purpose. Not my own. That's why I can have victory in Him.
Come on,
because I understand that because I love Him, He got my back.
Yeah.
Because I love Him, He gonna work it out.
Yeah.
Because I love Him, He gonna be in the midst of my situation.
Yeah.
All things work together for the good. For those that love God.
Yeah.
And that are called according to His purpose.
Yeah.
Tell somebody.
Yeah.
Lord, have mercy.
Yeah.
This doesn't mean that everything that happened to us gonna be good.
Come on.
But as long as God is with us, then it will gonna be good.
Right.
Even when I began and I lost my sister just a couple of years ago, it wasn't feeling good.
Yeah.
I thought I was lonely. I didn't have nobody because she was my only sister. You know, I would tell my husband, I ain't got no family. He's looking at me like I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Like, who am I? Am I true mother? You know, who
are
you? But I kept feeling as if I didn't have nobody. And then I had to be reminded that all things work together for the good. Because before then, I was praying for my nephew, my sister's only son. I was praying that God would bring him in and that He would save his soul and that he would be a part of this family like he should. And now I can't shake him. He always calling. He always And then he come with all his cheering. Lord have mercy. I said, save him, but then we have to get him and his kids. Lord have mercy. Praise God. But Lord have mercy. But even dark times, God still works.
Come on, come on, he's working.
In his own way, in his own time. Yeah. We have to remember that. We have to know that God is for us. We have to know that he is more than a world that stands against us.
Right.
And in fact, that we can have victory. And there are people who have a new mind to set to live with us. That they trust God. That they treasure God. That they look for security in heaven and not on earth.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of people that we should be. They learn to accept the good as well as the bad. That's when you have victory. Living, because you accept the good as well as the bad. And not resent the pain of the persecution. Because God is with us.
Yes,
we have to know that he is with us. And see, these are the ones that understand that no matter what we go through in life,
don't trust what it looks like.
We cannot.
My God.
Because that's what faith is. Faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. The evidence of things that are unseen.
Come on.
We can't see how we're going to get out of some situations.
Yeah.
But as long as we know that we have a God that's with us, we're able to have that
victory. You're right. You're right.
We're able to be assured that nothing could separate us from the love of God. We understand that that's real love. And we have to be determined that for God I live and for God I die. You have to be determined to keep moving in this race called life.
Come on. Come on.
We can't keep looking behind us and trying to figure out the what else of life.
Yeah.
Right.
But we have to keep pressing and pushing toward those things that are before us.
Yeah.
We have to keep stretching our faith in God because we understand that we are victorious.
Yeah.
That the finish line is truly ahead of us.
Right.
And we got to keep moving just to reach our goal.
Right. Yeah.
See, God is looking for some folk that's willing to be determined in this season.
Come on, come on.
I love the fact when he talked about it yet in verse 36.
Right.
He said, yet in all things we are more than conquerors.
Yeah.
I get excited when I see yet and but in the Bible.
Right.
Because they let me know that something just changed. That it's no longer the same anymore. Something just hit me.
Yeah.
I love when I see yet
come
and
on,
but
come
in the
on.
Bible. Because overwhelming means that's a very great amount.
Right.
Victorious actually means is that you've been have won or you triumphed over something.
Come on.
And see, when we have over love with God, that means that we have an overwhelming triumph with him.
Yeah.
That's how we can be victorious. And then Paul, he says that no, in all these things, that we are more than conquerors than him who loved us.
Uh-huh.
Conqueror actually means one who gains victory by struggle.
Uh-huh.
Hello, somebody. One who gains victory by struggle.
Come on, come on.
A win with victory that went forth. See, whatever it is that you was dealing with, that struggle, you're victorious because you already gained the win.
Come on.
See, that's why Paul says that we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. We are more than conquerors. That means that we win in victory, that the outcome is that we still win.
Right.
No matter what we have faced in life, God says that we're still winners. There's no way that we can lose
in
situations. Because if we have a relationship with Christ, then we are more than conquerors. We have the victory. Because the one reason we have the victory is because on the third day he rose from the dead. Because Jesus, who loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son for us. While we were yet still sinners. That's the real love that we're talking about. That's the real reason that we can be victorious, because he already overcame death.
Yeah, you're right.
And because of that, we are overcomers.
Yeah.
Because Jesus conquered death and he rose up with all power of heaven and earth. And that's why we can't give up. That's why we have to understand. That's why we can't throw in the towel. That's why we have to keep pressing.
Come
that's
on.
Why we have to keep reaching. That's why we have to keep stretching. That's why we can't give up. That's why we can't throw in the towel. We can't afford to turn around. We can't go back because the victory is too close at hand.
Yeah.
We have to learn to celebrate our Lord and Savior. We have to learn to give Him glory. We were created to worship.
Come on.
That's why I don't understand when it's time for praise.
Come on.
Worship.
Come on. Yes.
Because I love Him so much, I'm going to lift my hands. Yes. Because I love Him so much, I'm going to give Him glory. Yes. Because I love Him so much, I'm going to stand up.
Yeah.
Because I love Him so much, the fire just burns on the inside. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. See, when you have confidence, that means that you have full trust.
Full
and you have full belief and reliability in a person or things. Like when you sat down on these pews this morning, you didn't set to guess if the screws were right. You didn't set to guess if the legs wasn't going to be shaking. What you did is you went ahead and sat down. Because you had confidence and trust that this church was going to hold you up. You didn't set to guess when you got into your car that when you put the key in the ignition that the car was going to turn and the gas was going to come on. That's the confidence that we have. We have confidence in so many other things.
Come on.
But we don't have that same confidence in God. We have confidence when we open doors that the door is going to open. But God says, where's the confidence in me? That I'm able to work out those situations for you. That I'm able to do a great work. The confidence that we need has to be operating in our lives each and every day. We have to have confidence that in the God that we serve, that there is absolutely nothing that's too hard for him. And then we have to believe, we like to say it all the time in Ephesians 3 and 20, that God can do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. We love to say that, but do you really have a confidence enough that God can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you ask or think? Because when I begin to think about that thing, I can think about a whole lot of stuff that I really want. And me, you mean to tell me that I serve a God that's able to do more than what I'm thinking about? That you mean to tell me that I serve a God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can even ask him? He wants to do something greater than what I even want to ask him. Guess what? That's why I got confidence. Because I understand that God is greater than my own mild thinking. That he wants to do better for me than I even sometimes want to do better. That's the confidence that we need to have in him. God wants us to know that this confidence in us will bring us victory. But you got to have a made up mind to allow God to do a great work within you. You have to begin to start thinking about the promises of God. And meditate on them and allow them to start operating in your life. You have to become so focused and so determined in Christ that you won't let nothing hinder your walk or your journey with him. Because you want to live a life that's pleasing unto God. Philippians 3:13-14 says, that brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do is forgetting those things which are behind.
Come on.
And pressing toward the goal to win the prize for God, which is called, that's for me in Christ Jesus. God wants us to stay focused on the ultimate goal. That's before us. Stop thinking about what you should have did. Stop thinking about what could have happened. Stop living in the past and start moving toward the future. Start pressing your way forward and remain focused on him. Don't get hindered on situations or things that's going on. Don't even allow your trials or tribulations that you may be facing now to allow you to be separated from the love of God. God loves us too much to leave us alone. He promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And because of that alone, we can give him glory. Because he deserves our worship. He deserves our praise. So we have to understand that it's too close for God. We're too close to the victorious. We're too close to victory. We can't allow anything in. Our hardships doesn't allow us to be losers. Our hardships don't allow us to be losers. We have to understand that even with everything that's going on in the world today, some people get caught up with what's going on in the White House. Some people get caught up on what's going on the news. Some people are all caught up on Michelle Obama's new book. But God says, don't get too distracted with the things like that. Remain focused on me. Because God wants to do a new thing in each and every one of us. We're living in a season that you got to know that you got the victory in Christ Jesus. We can't get sidetracked about things that are going on. We can't allow people or places to separate us from the love of God. We're on a timetable right now. We can't afford to waste any more time.
Come on.
We wasted enough time, but we're living in a time now that we need to be centered and focused on Christ. And in order for us to be overcomers, we to work it out.
Work it out.
Absolutely, there's nothing too hard for him. And there's nothing impossible that he can't do. There's not a sin that he can't erase. There is nothing that's too hard for God. We need to stop putting limitations on him. Because God is bigger than the box we put him in. God is greater than our situation. And because of that, we got to give him glory.
Yeah.
I have funny.
Come on.
That God is able to do it.
Yeah.
He's going to do it.
My Lord.
Whatever your situation is. Whatever your it is that you need.
Come on, come on.
Be confident in God.
Yeah.
To know that He is better than your situation.
Yeah.
And if you trust and believe Him, He will work out.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.